NATO Secretary General, dear Jens, it is a great pleasure for me to have met you again today at the Presidential Palace, and we've had an opportunity to discuss in depth the various matters that interest us as related to NATO. This visit is so much the more important as we're in the beginning of a special year for NATO, because it is 70 years since the creation of the alliance, and for Romania, because we have been a NATO member for 15 years. These anniversaries, obviously, are a good opportunity to look at our shared achievements and also to take a look at the future, the evolution of the alliance, and in our case, towards Romania's role in NATO, a role that I see as important, and for that we're getting involved. We had, as I said, a discussion about all the major topics on the Allied agenda that concerned the NATO structures. I reconfirmed in the dialogue with the Secretary General our clear commitment to remain not only a strong but reliable ally. As I said a lot of times, Romania firmly supports a strengthening of the alliance. It is the strongest alliance that ever existed. But for it to remain so, it takes a lot of work. We rely on a strong, sound transatlantic relationship, which is indispensable for the security and prosperity of the Euro-Atlantic space. Romania will continue to act as a provider of security and stability in the region. And of course, we'll continue to meet all of its responsibilities as undertaken. In this period, the most discussed of them is the so-called burden sharing, the budget expenditure, which in Romania's case we have committed to raise to 2%, and we are going to stay there. A significant part of that money, as we established, will go into modernizing the armed forces, and this has already become visible and is seen as a positive example in NATO. We actively contribute to the strengthening of nature's posture of deterrence and defense on own territory and in other countries. And I would like to give the example here of a very good example here of our presence in Poland. At the same time, Romania maintains a substantial contribution to Allied operations and missions. The most telling example of that is, of course, our presence in Afghanistan. We are very present in Afghanistan. Our military are very respected and are doing an excellent job. All of these efforts confirm the importance we attach to Allied solidarity and a comprehensive approach to risk management. We are fully aware, at the same time, these contributions are absolutely necessary in the current context, which is marked by violations of international law and the use of military force, including in our vicinity. The process of NATO's adjustment to these new realities must continue. A credible and effective deterrence and defense posture is crucial to respond to the complex threats we are facing. The goal is ensuring full implementation of the steps that were agreed upon collectively in a collective effort in a coherent and sustained manner. Defense on the eastern flank and in the Black Sea region, which interests us extremely, must remain a priority, especially as the security situation in our area is a major source of concern for NATO. I discussed with the Secretary General about the progress recorded in implementing the Allied presence, forward Allied presence in our region. On that basis, we will continue to work to strengthen the multinational brigade in Craiova to ensure a constant presence of Allied ships, Navy ships in the Black Sea, and to establish military arrangements for command and control as effective as possible. These steps are part of a long-term strategic approach, which concerns the entire Black Sea region, which is obviously of major importance for us, but through our involvement, through our effort, we've been able to get all the allies to understand the importance of this region, Black Sea region, and we've been successful. At the same time, we've advocated for the importance of continuing a NATO active support for its partners that are targeted by multiple security threats, whether conventional or hybrid. Not lastly, in the context of Romania's holding the presidency of the Council of the European Union, I discussed with the Secretary General about the relationship between NATO and the European Union. We agree that a close cooperation is necessary. It is necessary for both sides to get involved in projects that supplement each other as opposed to competing with each other. We believe that a serious approach, long-term approach, solid approach, is what will create synergies. From the position of a strong state devoted equally to the European project and continued solidification of NATO and the transatlantic relationship, Romania will use every opportunity to promote the development of the strategic partnership between NATO and the EU. Thank you.
Thank you, President Ioannis, my friend Klaus. It's really a great pleasure to be back here in Bucharest and once again meet with you. And would like to also thank you for your strong personal commitment to our alliance, to our transatlantic security cooperation, and also the leadership you show in NATO. So thank you so much for once again hosting me here in Bucharest. We just had an excellent meeting where we discussed a wide range of issues which are of importance for all NATO allies. NATO is adapting to a more unpredictable and uncertain security environment, and Romania's role in that is of great importance. So I also thank you for Romania's contributions to the adaptation of NATO responding to a more challenging security environment. This year is Romania's 15th anniversary of NATO membership, and today you contribute to our shared security in many ways and in many different places. In Afghanistan, hundreds of Romanian troops help stabilize the country and deny safe haven to international terrorists. In the Western Balkans, your forces contribute to greater security as part of KFOR. In Poland, Romanian troops deter aggression as part of our multinational battle group. Here in Romania, you host a site for NATO's ballistic missile defense. You also make essential contributions to Black Sea security, including the Romanian-led multinational battle group in Craiova, air policing, and a strong naval presence. To keep our people safe in a more dangerous world, we need to invest in defense. So I welcome Romania's plans to spend 2% of GDP on defense this year, and to modernize your armed forces over the next decade. Modern capabilities and contributions to our missions and operations make NATO stronger, and they make Romania safer. I also congratulate you on your first presidency of the Council of the European Union. And I thank Romania for making NATO-EU cooperation a priority during your presidency. President Ioannis and I also discussed the INF Treaty. Russia has deployed a new type of missile in violation of the treaty. This missile, the SSC-8, is nuclear capable, hard to detect, and able to reach European cities. At the NATO foreign ministerial meeting in December, the United States, with the strong support of all NATO allies, announced they would give Russia 60 days to return to compliance with the INF Treaty. That period will end in 2 days. And unfortunately, we have seen no signs of a breakthrough. So we must prepare for a world without the INF Treaty. And NATO's military authorities have started looking into the consequences. NATO must maintain credible and effective deterrence and defense. At the same time, allies are firmly committed to arms control, and we must look at new initiatives, because a new arms race would be in no one's interest. As you mentioned, we also discussed Afghanistan. All allies support an Afghan-led and Afghan-owned peace and reconciliation process. And we welcome the efforts of U.S. Special Representative Khalilzad. This was one of the main topics I discussed with Secretaries Pompeo and Shanahan in Washington last weekend. NATO continues to help create the conditions for a peaceful settlement. Troops from 39 nations currently contribute to our rescue support mission, with up to half coming from non-US allies. We came in together, and we will stay together until the time is right to draw down our forces together. Afghanistan will be an important issue for the meeting of NATO defense ministers in Brussels in February. We also discussed NATO's continued commitment to our open-door policy, and I want to congratulate both Skopje and Athens. And I commend Prime Minister Tsipras and Prime Minister Zaev for their courage and strong leadership in making the name dispute a thing of the past. Now we look to the future. I expect all 29 allies will sign the accession protocol soon. Then Skopje will take part in NATO meetings as an invitee. Once all 29 allies have ratified the protocol, we will be able to welcome the Republic of North Macedonia as NATO's 30th member. This will consolidate peace and stability in the region and Europe as a whole. So, President Ioannis, thank you again for Romania's strong commitment to NATO. I look forward to welcoming you to a meeting of Allied leaders later this year.
Thank you.
Hello, I have a question for both of you. For NATO and Romania, strategically, and Romania as a acting president of the EU Council, how do you see European defense in a way that does not compete with NATO and does not cause transatlantic division or rift, as we see in some of President Trump's speeches? Thank you.
I welcome EU efforts on defense because I believe that can help to develop new military capabilities, address the fragmentation of the European defense industry, and also help to increase defense spending across Europe. I also welcome the fact that Europe, the European Union and NATO are cooperating more closely than we have done ever before. At the same time, it is important that EU efforts on defense complement, not compete with NATO. And we have to remember that EU can never replace NATO. We welcome European unity, but European unity cannot substitute for transatlantic unity. And NATO remains the cornerstone for European security, especially after Brexit. Then 80% of NATO's defense expenditure will come from non-EU allies. And three of the four battlegroups we have in the Baltic region and Poland will be led by non-EU NATO allies, the United States, Canada, and the United Kingdom. So EU efforts on defense has to complement, not compete with NATO. We have to avoid duplication, and of course we have to make sure that we strengthen, not weaken, the transatlantic bond. So as a way to strengthen the European pillar within a NATO framework, we strongly welcome EU efforts on defense.
The Secretary General gave you a very comprehensive answer. I will only focus on two ideas which are very important to me. The complementary aspect of the efforts for modernization, for upgrading between NATO and the EU is vital. No one wants, and I can assure you of that because I've also talked about this at the European Council and in bilateral and informal discussions with the European leaders, nobody wants to create a competition between NATO and the European Union. We all want to do so as to see the NATO projects and the EU projects to be complementary, to strengthen each other. You know that there have been voices, yes, which at one point stated that Europe is doing too little for its own defense. Well, not anymore. It is important and visible as an effort, and it will be a clear benefit for NATO. The fact that the European Union has developed projects like PESCO shows that we have understood we need to play a very important role in NATO. I repeat, in NATO, not instead of NATO or in parallel with NATO. And that's a good thing. All in all, the burden sharing, the allocation of funds for equipping and modernizing the armed forces must also create new projects, projects that come to improve things, including the European pillar of NATO. And that's what's going on. Hello, Secretary General. Hello, Mr. President. I'm from DG24. I have a question for both of you, too. I heard you talk about this allocation. We know very well that we have committed to 2% of the GDP for defense, but we see that we can only spend something like 1.8, and by the way, the significant purchases are postponed constantly, such as the Corvette tender. Secretary General, how does NATO see this, this constant postponing of the important purchases? Mr. President, what can we do to get out of this postponement cycle?
I would like to say that I welcome the significant increase in defense spending we have seen in Romania over the last years. This is really helping to improve burden sharing within the alliance, and of course it also provides Romania with more funds for investing in modern capabilities, equipping your armed forces, and also training and funding Romanian contributions to NATO missions and operations in Poland, in Afghanistan, in Kosovo, and elsewhere. So I welcome the strong increase in defense spending in Romania. Second, I welcome the clear plan to reach the 2% target in 2019. And I expect all allies to deliver on the pledge we all made together to spend 2% on defense. And Romania is very close, and I hope that this year you will be able to reach that target. What we see is that more and more allies are investing more in defense. Since 2016, European allies and Canada have added $41 billion extra US dollars to their defense budgets. And based on the national plans we have received from the allies, we expect that number to increase to $100 billion US dollars by the end of next year. So we are making progress. Romania is part of that. But of course, I hope that you also close that gap that still remains to fully reach 2%.
România s-a angajat să cheltuiască 2% din PIB. Asta este o sumă imensă care este...
Romania has committed to spending 2% of the GDP for defense. This is a very big thing. At the Supreme Defense Council, we discussed this matter from the beginning, and we realized that we have a great strategic opportunity here. We can, for the first time in many, many years, approach the equipping of our armed forces from a point of strategic point of view, on a medium and almost long term. We have a 10-year plan. This makes purchases possible that had not at all been possible so far for the Ministry of Defense in general. We have the strategic equipment and purchases programs, and we are willing to and very much desirous to take them to full completion. Some of them have started. We cannot say that nothing is going on. Something is going on. We do have strategic, ongoing strategic programs. Now, of course, since the revolution, we haven't had the practice, the exercise of large strategic purchases programs. So things move with a little bit of difficulty. You cannot think that as of tomorrow, the departments that used to deal with small purchases will suddenly be able to make large strategic purchases. There will be hiatuses, there will be challenges, unforeseen things, and all of those will have to be overcome. In the Supreme Defense Council, we discussed every year how to adapt these strategic programs. We are on schedule. The reason why there is no progress in the matter of the corvettes is a question where the Ministry of Defense is best placed to provide you an answer. From my point of view and the Supreme Defense Council, things are clear. The government, specifically the Ministry of Defense, has to deliver on its commitments. And I hope this is an approach that they share at the Ministry of Defense. So in the matter of the corvettes, We will most likely have a clear answer when the Ministry of Defense gets an answer to the complaint they have raised about having certain elements of uncertainty. In general, we know what we want. We have the funding, because this is a commitment by Romania. It's not just something by the government or a council. It's a commitment by the country. And so we will see these things through.
Press of the Secretary General, if I may. I would like you to comment on the detention of Canadians in China, taking into consideration, is there a wider international security issue? Is this of concern to you as the Chief Officer of NATO? Thank you.
I'm following this case very closely and with concern, and NATO allies, including Canada and the United States, have been clear that China should immediately release the two Canadians detained in December. And I call on Beijing to address Canada's serious concerns. We have to remember that NATO is founded on some core values: democracy, individual liberty, and the rule of law. And that's also the reason why we follow this case with such a great concern. And NATO expects that its citizens are treated fairly and with respect for due process. So this is something which has been expressed by many allies, and we are concerned because we see that two Canadians were detained in December, and we expect them to be treated fairly with respect for due process.
Okay, mulțumesc. Thank you.
Thank you.